Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the instant match reaction. Liverpool 3, Manchester United 1. I'm joined by Mr. Chris Pajak. Chris, welcome back.
Hello, mate.
Full fit, pseudo healthy and mad
for it. Do you know what? It's incredible seeing the message. It was 3 days I was gone for. Yeah. It was like I was gone forever.
It was three bad days, though.
It was literally the worst week I've ever had in my life. Yeah. Only saved, just, that's how bad it was, by Liverpool absolutely mullering Manchester United, which Paul, I think, deserves this. Hold that a second.
Yeah. Scott, I mean, it works slightly worse on the podcast than it does on the video, but there we go, he's back. Brilliant. Chris has just done a lap at the car park and all as well.
I should have searched, you
know. Yeah, and you've not been able to breathe for a week as well, so good on you. Good on you.
It's fine. I was on row 67 of the cop, so I've had a little bit of a warm-up and stuff. Yeah. It's good up there.
Wow, I mean, I just spoke to Adam from Full Time Devils, and
that was nice.
You know what I said to him is right. I've never been less fearful of Manchester United. I've never been less. We were talking about it, and I'd said it on the build up show as well. I just felt confident. I felt like we had the ability to beat them, and lo and behold, it was borne out.
Because we're a better side than them, and because we've got a better manager than them, and because we've got better players than them, and we've got better fans than them. We're just generally better than them. We've got a better kit. We've got a better kit man.
Sure.
Got a better tea lady.
Yeah,
we're just better than the top to bottom, Paul. And the thing is, their manager's shite, and their manager doesn't know how to set a side up to go up against Liverpool anymore. Mm-hmm. In years gone by, yeah, he's had success against us, and the reason he's had success is because we've not been as good as we are today. Yeah. And that's the thing. Now I didn't get frustrated. I do actually think at times at the start of the second half we were getting frustrated. Oh. We're hitting the ball from 40 yards too often. Fabinho was guilty of it a couple of times. And then when
Lovren had the pot shot, and then Van Dijk felt he was fine to have a pot shot and all that.
Everybody had a go at that, and it's like, that's not what you want to do. That's exactly what Mourinho wants from you. That's exactly what that's Manchester United wants. They want to drag us down to their level and say, we know you're better. And this is actually the whole thing, Paul, is it shows respect, and it shows that Mourinho actually does think that Liverpool are a good side, because he doesn't do that against the sides that he doesn't think are good.
Yeah.
But what they were able to do is they're trying to drag the game down, and Liverpool in the end just went, fuck off, lad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're better than you, and we just scored more goals.
They don't have to go in the locker, because it's not a Mourinho style of play. And if it was, he certainly doesn't have to play to, because what he needs is a rock solid defence. So he needs to go out and spend, like, probably in modern money, about £250 million on defenders to rebuild his entire defence. Because that's what in terms of the goal, if Van Dijk is the going rate for a world class defender, he probably needs at least two, and then he needs brand new fullbacks as well, because he's still using Ashley Young at fullback. He's still got Valencia on the bench to play at fullback, etc. To beat Liverpool, you've got to come at us, and you've got to get in our faces, you've got to cause us problems. That's still an issue for us. He doesn't have the players for it, and it's not tried and tested for him, so he doesn't trust it. So all he thinks is, if I let the handbrake off and I tell my team to go, all he looks at is we battered Man City when they tried to do that twice last season. You know, City had to change their approach. City had to come and be far more compact and far more dangerous to not get beaten by us. So he's right to come and try and park the bus here, but you're right. We're not last season's Liverpool. We're not 2 seasons ago. This is not any of the Liverpools that have either lost or drawn this game in the last 5 seasons. this is a team that's actually developed a way of beating low block sides. It's got patience and it's got guys who can unlock defences.
And that's all. That's what you need. That's why I was wrong at the start of the season when I said Liverpool are better set up for European football. They're not anymore.
Yeah.
We're a side that is going to, each and every week, it doesn't matter who we come up against, Manchester United at home, Man City at home, Chelsea at fucking home, they all play low block against us because we're a good side.
Yeah.
And we dominate the ball. We had 36 fucking shots to their 6 today.
Yeah.
36 shots against Manchester United. Manchester United are a mid-table club now, Paul. That's what Jose Mourinho's dragged them down to. That's what he was trying to do to us.
Yeah.
Trying to drag us down to a mid-table battle. Well, we're just stood up and go, no, we're not doing that, mate. We're just going to fucking keep on doing our game. We'll eventually tire you. We'll eventually get him in on you. And we'll eventually put the ball in the back of the net. And there ain't fuck all that you can do about it.
They... we're losing the midfield. Fabinho had the midfield absolutely shown up, and they brought Fellaini on at half time, so they changed it. I guess they went to 4 at the back at that point, because they were whether it was 5 at the back or whatever, they were ultra defensive. They tried to win a bit more in midfield, so they went to plan B with 45 minutes to go in that match. And Fellaini did win a few headers. He threw a few elbows. He does what he does, but you're throwing him into the pace of that game. You saw Fellaini for what he is, and I don't think Fellaini's anywhere near as bad as some people make out, but he's not top four quality.
No, he's not
champion quality. He's not Champions League quality. He's effective, and he's like Everton used to use Duncan Ferguson for the last 10 minutes of games like a decade ago. Throw him on there and cause chaos. The ball, he's just so slow, so laboured, so uncomfortable on the ball.
What
and Fabinho looked just mercurial in that midfield.
But
what he does do
is he interrupts the game. He'll those little shitty fouls, those elbows, they'll this, they'll that. That's what Mourinho
winning
wanted.
Winning fouls as well. Like,
yeah, that's what Mourinho wanted. So I actually thought, to some extent, that actually worked, and that was a decent substitution. But is that all you've got?
Yeah, literally.
Like, I mean, really, Manchester United back in the day didn't bring on a fella to come and kick you.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened from the way go.
Yeah.
Manchester United don't even have that in the locker today, you know what I mean? And I don't think the goalkeeper's covered himself in glory. But, you know, De Gea on both of those, I think he maybe could have done better. He's not playing well. The defence is shite. The midfield lost the battle first half, it lost the battle second half. The only player who I was worried about, it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on this, every time he picks the ball up, Rashford worries me.
Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah.
That's it. But we're playing Manchester United, and they've got one guy who I think is decent.
Well, no, he's fantastic, and I would love Marcus Rashford at Liverpool. He would be world class if Klopp got hold of him. He is a threat, and I'm worried because we've seen him cause us problems. He caused us problems at Old Trafford last season, and he's fast and whatever.
Klopp pocketed them though, didn't he?
What did he do? I mean, they had one, a couple in the second half, which is down the opposite end for me, so I can't talk too much about him. A couple where it flashed across the box or whatever, but I never felt. Worries. They didn't, you know, they didn't touch us, Chris. They barely. You said 6 shots. I mean, I don't know how many of them were on target. It didn't feel like.
I think
really,
it was 2-2 and two.
Yeah,
blocked.
It didn't really feel like they crafted much. They play yard dog football. I feel sorry for Lukaku in a really, you know, weird way, like because he's an ex Evertonian mank.
Did you see him fucking celebrating their goal?
No.
You wouldn't feel sorry for the prick. If
no, well,
did,
I saw Lingard doing his.
Yeah, and fucking. Lukaku was off on his own giving it the beans to the fucking cop, so he deserved it.
I was thinking this about like the Gary Neville stuff and around the Shaqiri stuff. I was thinking about, because it's been the anniversary of us doing this stuff on Sky Sports with Neville, and how we hated Gary Neville. We used to do sketches about Gary Neville in the early days of Redmen, because they had players who I genuinely hated, but in a good way. Like, you're meant to hate. I don't really hate any Man United players. You know why, Chris? Because they're not good enough. Like, that Jesse Lingard is a little gobshite. Like, in front of the cop doing his little celebration. Fine, lads. Great. I bet Trent is rinsing him on WhatsApp right now because of that. Like, but he's not good enough for me
and
to
Fortnite.
Hate.
Fortnite.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Like, he's not good enough for me to hate, Chris. There's nothing about Jesse Lingard that's other than he's just an annoyance.
Do you know what I hate?
Like,
the only thing I hate about him is that everyone thinks he's a fucking kid.
Yeah,
he's 26
not, he's
years
like,
old.
He's like 29 years old.
He's 26 like, years old, and he's got potential.
Yeah,
you mean he's shit still?
He's fine, isn't
he? He's basically
just,
shit
he's
still.
He's just fine, and like Rashford's fantastic, but he's just a kid. He's a kid. I think there's nothing about Man United that I hate other than Man United anymore. There's nothing about. There's no blood or thunder to that, and that's the best thing. I've been saying this for years, and it's finally come to pass. I talked about us passing them on the stairs, and we've just never done it in the matches. We've done it. Domestically, I know they finished above last season, but we've had a few seasons above them since they last won the league. And when we've been, I think we've been much better than them as well. I just feel like we are streets ahead of them now. I mean, look, you met, I had you talking about that, I mentioned on a few videos, 19 points ahead of them, Chris. Right. Is it 17 played now?
17 played. Well, they're basically losing over a point a game to us. Yeah. That's fucking ridiculous, isn't it? But we're also playing at an unbelievable level.
Yeah.
You know, we're 17 games into the season. No one's beating us yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And quite honestly, if teams come in and do that at Anfield, we're not getting beaten here all season long.
Clearly the game plan was not to beat us. They've not come to beat us there because they didn't do enough. They didn't offer enough. Unless it was like, you know, standard for a 0-0 and you nick a corner or you nick or whatever. I don't think that they come here with the confidence like we're going to beat Liverpool. A draw is a win for them, and anything more is,
you know, the difference. And I heard you talking to McCullough and stuff, and it was an interesting point that you were both making about. I think McCullough said, like, look, you know, he builds players up, Klopp, and then Mourinho doesn't. Look at Nathaniel Clarke in that game.
Mm.
He comes in, he's up against Marcus Rashford, who's one of the top players in England, and he's a young kid, and he's supposed to rip him everywhere on the break as well. Nathaniel Clarke just did what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But he's coming into his side. This is a lad who's supposed to be lacking confidence into a side that's playing really well. Everyone who took to the field there for us knew that we were going to win that game. And everyone who took to the field for Manchester United probably looked at each other in the dressing room when Mourinho walked out ahead of them and went, this is what he wants us to do. We're not going to beat them like this, mate.
Yeah.
And they're all looking at each other going, is there anyone with fucking belief in their eyes in this dressing room, please? Because I don't think the manager's got any fucking belief in his side, and the players don't have belief in one another.
And when it went to 2-1, all the energy, the remaining energy in their legs got sapped from them completely. We were knocking the ball around, and we were doing a 3-1 as well, but we were knocking the ball around on the wing, keeping possession, and they just half-heartedly going towards the ball. We as soon as we got that goal, they thought, because I remember when they scored, I'll admit, it flattened us a bit. It flattened the atmosphere, it flattened me, and I was a bit like, oh, because you start to think, oh God, it's typical.
Plus it was a soft goal.
Yeah, exactly. It was just so annoying, because, you know, and you think, imagine drawing on that, just so, it would be so disappointing. But, and I thought, oh God, we're going to have to go again. And so that was a little fear from me. But imagine the fear from me. When we scored, they were like, well, we're not scoring here. We haven't scored a legitimate goal ourselves, basically. They had to hand us a goal, which Liverpool don't do. There's 7 goals we conceded in the league all season. What are the odds of us giving them a second goal? So their heads were gone completely. It was genuinely fantastic. And I don't want to get too far away from Clarke, because you're right to mention him. People were concerned that Clarke was starting this game. If our only concern in this squad right now, aside from the couple of injuries...
Listen, if Klein was playing against a good side, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you would have concerns. Maybe.
Against
a side who want to attack you, maybe you'd be concerned. But even then, I'm taking the piss, and I don't think I would be.
Because the
first time that Rashford went at him, he tried to fucking Megs Klein, and Klein did one of them, like, where you go down with your knee.
Yeah.
And you got... Because he's fucking been doing this for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's been doing this longer than
he's
that lad's been alive.
He's a professional right back.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a professional right back. No, you're right. And there was a bit early on, and I think Tom had said, they're just going to let him have the ball. And they did. And there was a couple of times where Klein was just finding his feet, and he looked like a guy who'd not played a lot of football. He was a little bit... It was a bit like when Fellaini came on, actually. He was a bit like, what do we do here? And we've had a lot of lads in our team over like that. So he was a bit of a throwback watching a Liverpool player be slightly uncomfortable on the ball. But then he got into it, and people offered for him a little bit more. He had his passes. The amount of times that he supported the attack, he still got his pace.
Mate, and not only that, his engine.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about it, and you're thinking to yourself, well, this, like, can he last 90 minutes playing at the level that he played that first half? It was about 85 minutes, and he's still going around the outside. And you're thinking, he said himself before the game, didn't he? I'll get through on adrenaline in this game, and maybe, you know,
he's going to be sore for the rest of the week.
He's going to be very, very sore, but he'll deserve to be, and he'll feel that, and he'll know that he'll be looking at that going, I've still got a place in this squad, and the manager still trusts in me, and that will just give him something else.
There's a good chance we might not see Trent until the back end of January. There's a good chance we're not going to see Gomez till February. Klein, we're going to need Klein, and you know. And this again, we're talking, what's Klein, 29, maybe 30 this year, at tops, I'd imagine, but he's there or thereabouts.
What about the same age as fucking Lingard?
He is a senior player at this football club. I was saying this about Lallana, saying about Milner, saying about Daniel Sturridge. We're getting tunes out of these lads who, in years gone by, we'd have just binned off because we'd have got a bit of money for them. It's 10 million quid because we need 10 million quid off. We need 5 million quid off. They harbour ambitions because they're going to go and play 50 games for a mid-table side or whatever. There's nothing wrong with having lads who are just Premier League quality. in your squad. You don't want a full 11 of them, but you can afford to have one or two of those lads in there. And Nathaniel Klein, yeah, deserves so much credit for his performance today, because he would have been the target, and he was the target. They were trying to cause him problems, and largely because they didn't. And but you know, more power to him. We're going to see more of Klein. I hope we do, and I hope he proves himself, because, you know, what's the point of selling Nathaniel Klein?
Yeah, mate, ultimately it comes down to this. We just beat Manchester United. They didn't really lay a glove on us, and we played our third choice right back and our third choice centre half.
That's how good we are right now. Very, very good. Look, we've not... We tried to get through these. The internet match reactions will run too long, because we've got the final word show go tomorrow. But let's talk to Jadon Sancheri just briefly, Chris. Again, squad depth. We put a side out that was more than capable of causing Man United problems, and then we reached the point where we needed to make a change. We made a change, and Jadon Sancheri, he causes Klopp a problem for himself, because he's fucking brilliant off the bench. You maybe get 65, 70 off him from the start, or you get 20 brilliant minutes from off the bench, and he's just come on and absolutely turned the game on.
He's like a fucking sparkler, Paul. He burns bright, yes, for a really short amount of time. Yeah. It's true though, isn't it? You know what? Whether he starts the game or he comes onto the game, he always starts with a fucking bang. Yeah. Like, and I must admit, that was the first performance from him where those runs that he was making, those goals they scored, they were very central runs. Yeah. They started over on the right-hand side, but that is more the Ox against City type of a run with the ball at his feet. And that's the thing that we've been looking out for, isn't it? And I think he's one of those players, and it's funny enough, when you think of a super sub in the Premier League area, you think of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for Manchester United as maybe the pinnacle of that.
Yeah.
A lad who, Solskjaer, after his career ended, said, "I used to watch the game. I used to look for, is that lad gone down? Has he got a sore knee? What's working? Is he always going that way, or is he going that way?" Sancheri feels like a guy who does his own work when he's on the bench, and he's looking at it and going, "If I get on there, I'm fucking doing this, because he's not ready for
it." He's just scrappy too, isn't he? Like, he's amazing. Like, we just meant. He's just so hungry for the ball. Give and goes. He never, you know, when it needed to go quickly, he was on his toes. He didn't need time to warm into the game at all. He was a little bundle of energy, and he brought us up a level, and, you know, gets the goals. Absolutely magnificent. He's a genuine hero now of the cop. What a sign that he's been. And the
was
fact
that
three
against
never...
United in two games. I know one's in pre-season. Yeah.
I had that thought, you know, he was on the bench, and I thought, bring him in. He scored an overhead kick against him pre-season. You don't get anything for that. But it just shows the level of the guy. You know, he thinks he's amazing because he is amazing. Anyone who thought he was
also
shit was
Dejan Lovren's overhead kick clearance. Yes, please.
Yeah.
More of that. That was fucking sensational. The technique. Tech is my
the
word.
The Neds were brilliant. Please don't ever use tech as a game. But that's fine.
Use tech as it was Lovren. Fine. That's what Lovren would do.
Sure. Let me know your thoughts on any players or any incidents from the match you want us to discuss in more depth and detail, and I'll pull some of them into the Final Word Show on Monday. Make sure you get over to theredmentv.com. You've seen what the Final Word Show looks like now. We gave you two of them last week on Freeview Week. So if you want the next one, if you've been enjoying it and you need an hour-long, in-depth chat and basically pissing our pants laughing at Man United, then get over to redmentv.com. It's free for the first month as well, so you've had Freeview Week, you then get a free month.
I think we should fuck that off soon, Paul.
Honestly,
you know?
I think we're honestly giving
like
it away
in 3 days time. We're gonna fuck that off, so now's the time.
Yeah, why not? Get involved. Some amazing content on there, of course. Thank you very much for watching, for subscribing, and for supporting the best football club in the country. Ta-da.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.